Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 31st of October. And I'm recording at 9:44 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time. So, a very, very happy October Halloween to you, I wish. Halloween's a good day in the Fuller household because it happens to be Mrs. Fuller's birthday. And she was looking well on it, I'm pleased to say. Now, interesting markets here for sure. And I've been talking about overbought conditions and that it would be healthy if we actually saw reactions and consolidations by these leading stock markets. And they pushed a little bit further to the upside, becoming more overextended. And I think that this reaction phase is definitely beginning now. We saw it first. Asia was pretty soft. Not big hits, but Japan down 1.2%. They were mostly down. That's the main point. China was also down. The two main mainland Chinese indices down close to 1%, and they have been soft recently. India was going the other way, so was Thailand. India had about three quarters of a percent to the upside, fraction better by Thailand, but everything else was down. In the Asian sector, and they're not going to be helped by what Wall Street did tonight, and I'll get onto that in a moment. But first, Europe. Europe closed mostly higher. OMX was down. The UK stock market was down, but the others were higher. But again, I think it will certainly be tested at least in the morning, at minimum in the morning. And Europe is overextended on the upside too, and is due for I'll use the euphemism, I'll call it a healthy correction. So I'm not looking for a disaster in here by any means. But they got overextended. Wall Street was interesting. It churned a lot during the day, but then closed soft. Now, not big moves, not big percentages, but we've had 2 days in a row to the downside, and you get vertigo, or I get vertigo, when I look at the daily charts, sort of the weekly charts, which are overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages, and the daily charts were just stocks to the upside. And the point I would make in here is that when it seems actually quite easy to make money, and that's certainly been the case over the last month. And when that's the case, and you're getting a lot of bullish forecasts, you know that it's not going to last. It's a little bit too good, a little bit too easy. Now, while I was in the home gym this morning, I saw an American investment manager who will remain nameless, but you've probably heard of him, and he was being incredibly bullish. Well, what was his reason? Well, he talked a bit about corporate earnings, and corporate earnings have been fairly solid, and you know that Fuller Money likes these autonomies on a medium to longer term basis. We like them for sure. But in the slow growth environment, those earnings have often been flattered by the share buybacks. Now, that's good for investors while it goes on, but the actual revenue for some of these companies, not all of them, and I'm talking about a minority now, but some of them that are doing quite well in the markets, reporting higher earnings, but their revenues are actually declining a little bit in this environment. But at any rate, this investment manager was saying that he was extremely confident, and talking his book, in other words, and saying that he felt that the P/E ratio for the S&P, which was got close to 17 earlier this week, 3 days ago, he was saying that he thought it would go to 20 over the next few months. Well, you know, if you're buying or chasing a stock market on the basis of forecasts of expanding P/E ratios, rising P/E ratios, in other words, that is the worst possible reason to be buying shares. It's greater fool theory stuff. So this guy was effectively saying, I know I'm a fool here to, well, he wasn't saying this, but I'll impose it. He was saying, I may be a fool for holding this and buying at this multiple after this strong advance, but I'm doing so because I feel that there are enough even bigger fools out there to make it a profitable journey for me from current levels. And you know how this plays out. This always ends badly. The best time to buy is when valuations are really low, not when they've been heading to the highest levels that we've seen in a few years. And it always ends badly because markets get overvalued, but and also they're borrowing from the future. So they do come back down. And I think we got an overextended, sufficiently overextended, so that we're quite likely to see certainly a reaction towards the MAs, and I wouldn't bet against it going a whole lot lower than that at this stage. But again, I'd be a little bit cautious in here. You can ride it out. We've still got the big monetary tailwind, but expect to see some a pairing of recent gains. Now elsewhere, long-dated government bonds, the yields dipped just a little bit lower. Now notice the factors here that are falling in line. First, Wall Street's been down 2 days in a row. We haven't had that much in the way of downward dynamics, although if you look at the Russell 2000, that did yesterday, and I'll post daily charts of those. But what also tends to happen when investors get a little bit frightened on Wall Street, they also get frightened in a number of other markets that have moved up quite strongly, and so I would expect to see that. They also we get a little bit of a retreat into bond markets, so that is likely to keep yields from pushing up very much over the next couple of weeks or so. And the other factor is that the dollar is picking up. I've been mentioning this, and I talked about it a fair amount yesterday, but that dollar index had a good gain today. It's back up above the 80 level. Now, the soft dollar had been flattering the performances of these U.S. stock market indices and share prices, obviously. And we've had that dollar come all the way down from on the dollar index, that's against the European currencies. It had been up at 85, 86, and came all the way down to 79. That's a big move in currencies, and it's found good support at that 79, is pushed back up to 80 and a quarter. And I think it will move higher in here if I'm right in saying that these stock markets are now in a period of temporary retreat. So, and that strong dollar is also going to be, in all probability, a headwind for the precious metals, because the people who are interested in that sector, first, they're not betting on a crisis as they had been in previous years. So I don't think that Wall Street going into a corrective phase is going to cause them people to pile into the precious metals, or I'd be surprised if it did. But that firmer dollar is definitely a headwind, and we saw that reflected here today. Gold down nearly $21, platinum down 30 over 31. Palladium, which has been the best performer all along, that was down nearly $13, and silver down $1.10. That's back to 21. 86. So the precious metals remain very much within ranging patterns, but they're now likely to range a little bit lower within those patterns. I think there's a good chance, though, that they will hold above the summer lows. When were those lows? I think in July, but I'd have to check the charts to make sure of that. Now, another interesting development here today. There's so many things going on, but I just changed my screen so I can quote this absolutely accurately. The commodity markets have weakened in here. And sorry, I just let me bring this up. I can't talk and chew gum at the same time. And okay, damn it. Well, we've got crude down at 96.38, the W. TI crude. This is really annoying me that I can't get this. Just try this as my last attempt. No, nope, I'll give up on that. But what I had noticed earlier is that CCI index, that's a continuous commodity index, that had fallen back down to 508. Now, I keep mentioning this because it's not all that far away from a series of lows at the psychological 500 level, but it is still in an overall downward trend. Now, that suggests, one, that the supply of commodities is increasing, and also it suggests that there has been a little bit less demand, particularly for these industrial commodities. So it's a two-part story, but we still have this disinflationary influence in the commodity markets. And the good news, which I've been talking about pretty well all year, is that the crop cycles were not at all bad. We had one that did not work out in here today, and that Malaysia's having trouble with the palm oil harvest. Owen's written about that, and you'll see it. But most of those big U.S. Staple grains and beans, China's crops, European crops, they were pretty good. So the additional moisture that we have in the atmosphere, that was helping the crops, and so that weighed on commodity prices a little bit. Then in the industrial sector, the demand has been a bit softer, and the mining companies and the oil companies have still been producing plenty of supply. And so that's caused them to ease somewhat. And I think that will not add to inflationary pressures, so I don't think there's any likelihood that we will see the quantitative easing reined in anytime soon. But the bottom line here for these global stock markets is that GDP growth is not as strong as the central banks would like. We will see, therefore, as I mentioned earlier on, we will see a reaction phase in stock markets, but that monetary tailwind will prevent for a while at any rate, and by that I mean a few more months, it should prevent a really significant sell-off in stock markets. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.